Your host, Behrouz Najafi. Welcome to the rolling coverage of Iran's response to the Israeli attack on the Iranian embassy in Damascus. That happened last night, early hours of this morning. Operation called True Promise, or Promise Fulfilled. And IRGC is saying that it's hit major intelligence and military bases of the Israeli regime deep inside the occupied territories. And we've been covering this for you since the operation started. So let me just go on our discussion. Let me bring in Farah Hughes, journalist, author, and activist from Belfast. Farah, let's take a look at the way that international bodies have reacted right after this Israeli aggression against Iran. I'm talking about the attack on the Iran embassy, in which a number of senior military advisors of Iran got killed. The UN performance here, I want you to analyze that, because the Iranian foreign minister also just said a couple of hours ago that Iran could have thought twice before deciding to actually perform this military operation in case the United Nations had been more serious about this and had condemned this Israeli act.
Yes, I think it's another blatant failure by the UN. I think people need to really see the UN in the true light of what it is. It is a political talking shop. It has no real teeth. It has no army behind it as such in order to enforce its resolutions. It's basically an empty echo chamber, and anyone who is a member of the Security Council that has a veto can step in at any time and marginalise and negate the whole structural essence and the kind of moral integrity that the UN claims to have. I think it's quite obvious, going by what the Iranian foreign minister has said, if the UN had come out strongly and condemned Israel, then perhaps there would have been no need for an Iranian response. But the fact that they basically said, well, we don't care about the sovereign soil of Iran. We don't care about the attack and the murder of senior military commanders in Damascus. It just proves that Iranian lives, like Palestinian lives, like Iraqi lives, like Syrian lives, like Lebanese and Afghani lives don't matter. So, you know, Western hegemony within the UN is carrying out the imperialist policies of the EU and America, and I suppose we could include Canada and Australia also in that equation as these white Anglo-Saxon European colonial states. I think it's a failure by the UN. Israel is responsible for what happened in the last 24 hours because of its attack upon the embassy. The UN is complicit in this response by not actually holding Israel and it cohort of allies to account. So long as there's no accountability within the United Nations to the uncontrolled and unaccountable murderous actions of the Zionist apartheid regime, I think we will continue to see a lack of peace and further destabilization and disorder in West Asia, which all comes down to the Knesset. It all comes down to the right-wing Israeli society, because let's remember, they voted these people in. It claims to be the only democracy in West Asia, which it isn't. But the people there have elected warmongers and war criminals, people who have already have the blood of generations of Palestinians on their hands. They've been elected to continue the war on the Palestinians and to continue to expand Israel in line with the Zionist dream of from the river to the sea, not being Palestinian, but being this European colonial Anglo-Saxon settlement of an indigenous population at the expense of replacing them with these interlopers, thieves, and murderers.
Okay. Well, let me bring in Mariam Saleh, our correspondent. She's now in South Lebanon. In Lebanon, we had just since the early minutes of the operation that Iran's IRGC performed, we saw that there were lots of Lebanese people taken out to the streets In jubilation and celebrating this, there were, I'm going to ask Marian what happened. And also, I believe that Resistance Front, also Hezbollah, performed some retaliatory operations, continued with its retaliatory operations against the Israeli regime. Marian.
Yes, definitely. We saw that even when we did not see the results of the Iranian retaliation, that the retaliation in itself or the launching of this operation, which is the truthful plot promise, is something that is reminiscent for the people of Lebanon of the 2006 war. Before the 2006, Hezbollah Secretary General Said Hassan Nasrallah had promised that he would return the Lebanese prisoners in Israeli jails that were taken in prisoner and left there since the liberation and after the liberation of 2000. They were inside the jails of the occupied Palestinian territory within the Israeli regime. They were not allowed to return. Hezbollah had tried through diplomatic means, and the some members of the government had attempted through diplomatic means, but there was absolutely no results. Because of that, Hezbollah waited 6 years to take on an operation on the 12th of July in 2006, saying that they are only there to capture those Israeli soldiers in order to release them and exchange them with Lebanese prisoners. That led to the 2006 war, of course, but at the end of the day, the war ended and the Israelis were forced to go to a prisoner swap and to a deal that would actually and ultimately protect the civilians, which we see now is basically in place. And so when the Lebanese people see that the Islamic Republic of Iran also lived up to its promise, saying that they will retaliate for the assassination of Iranian officials. As you know, the Iranian officials of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps were not only officials of Iran, they were also coordinating with the Lebanese resistance. The Lebanese people feel very closely to these people. They have there's a lot of sympathy. There is actually very close relationship between those Iranian officials. Just it was the same with General Qasem Soleimani. He had very close relationship, very close ties with not only the officials of Hezbollah, with their families as well. And we know that later on, after his martyrdom, we learned that even more and more. We heard from Hezbollah Secretary General Seyed Hassan Nasrallah in his latest speech talking about the martyrs and talking about how close they were and how they always insisted on being on the battlefield, on the ground, with the fighters of Hezbollah, but for their sake, for their safety, Hezbollah always attempted to keep them away from the battlefield. And still, despite this, the Israelis attempted this assassination, and that was considered a mortal mistake by many analysts, by the people. And we heard from Hezbollah Secretary General as well, Seyed Hassan Nasrallah, in his last speech, basically promising that there would be a retaliation. It is the first time he speaks about this. Although he did say, for example, after the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani, that there would be a retaliation, but that the retaliation would be more strategic, despite the fact that there was a direct retaliation. There's also a wider strategic response that would be the result for all the resistance factions, since General Qasem Soleimani represented all the resistance factions in the region, and therefore it would be more strategic. It would lead to the end of the existence of the Israeli hegemony and the U.S. hegemony in the entire region. We see this bit by bit. We also see that a lot of people said that even among the Palestinian faction, the Israelis are basically bringing their own end with this. We even see from the Israelis, it's good to see sometimes what the Israelis are saying. The Israeli media, the Israeli analysts, they are saying that if the Israeli army is incapable of dealing with a very humble resistance like Hamas and the other Palestinian factions inside Gaza, how would they deal with a greater force? They compare it, first of all, with Hezbollah's resistance, but then when they compare it with the Islamic Republic of Iran, that is, of course, a great force that they cannot and have no ability to stand against. And you see yesterday, and with this comparison, we have one man against the entire world, basically, with the Islamic Republic of Iran. And in this operation, it was standing against the greatest powers and still was able to not be intercepted and to reach its target. We saw the United States, the United Kingdom, France, all coming together, basically, trying to assist the Israelis in this Israel's force. being put on.
Fortunately, we don't have a very good connection with Maryam Saleh, our correspondent in South Lebanon now. So let me bring Sundus Al-Assad, journalist and human rights advocate in Beirut, and continue with her. Sundus, in response, what Iran did was hitting some targets like Nevatim Air Base, and where is Nevatim Air Base in the occupied territories? The very same place where U.S.-made F-35 fighter jets were used by the Israeli regime to conduct the attack on the Iran embassy in Syria. This is the targets, one of the targets, for instance, that Iran actually hit in response to the Israeli aggression against its embassy. So, and when you look at the Western reaction to this, I want you to analyze that Western reaction regarding this. They simply say, okay, guys, keep quiet, keep cool, and practice self-restraint. Now, what if Iran had done the same thing, or any other country had done the same thing that the Israeli regime did, and actually hit a diplomatic premises of a sovereign nation? Then what would a European or Western reaction look like in that case?
I think it applies to what has happened in Syria during the last decade. They have accused the Syrian regime of being oppressing its citizens, and they have interfered in the Syrian affairs and brought both terrorists from different countries of the world in order to destabilize the security and the peace of Syria. This is what happened. We know that the international stance regarding this heroic operation, this righteous operation that Iran has done yesterday, is the full right of the Iranian regime, as Iran has once again threatens the Zionist mission not to to go on and persist in its terrorist actions against Iran, but the support that has been given to the Zionist occupation has led it to commit this crime in Syria. And the what we have heard from the international community is perhaps because of the pressure of the international public opinion, especially in the West, which have discovered the true reality of this bloody regime, and that the Holocaust that the Zionist occupation manipulate in order to have the support of the Westerns is just a propaganda. Also, they have realized that their taxes are being wasted by purchasing weapons to support the Zionist regime. So we have noticed that this is pressuring the international community. The people in the West are being able to change this stance and pressure their governments in order to expose perhaps the true image of this bloody regime.
Now, let me bring in Maryam Saleh, our correspondent in Lebanon. Maryam, tell us more about the people's reaction and also that of the officials and statesmen in Lebanon when they heard this news.
Well, we said that there was definitely a lot of anticipation. People were happy to see that there was a retaliation. I think that they were also really keen and confident that retaliation and this response, first of all, it is a retaliation for the assassination of very significant officials of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. They are not just officials that are unknown to the Lebanese people, to the Lebanese resistance. They have very close ties. There is also ties between among the families as well. And so this is why there's a lot of sympathy from the Lebanese people, especially supporters of the resistance, to the leaders and the officials of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And this is why many people were awaiting this response. We do have, maybe there's a cultural difference. Some people wanted a quick response, a direct retaliation. Sayyid Nasrallah made it clear last time that when it comes to the Islamic Republic of Iran, since it is a state actor, it will take some time. There's a lot of thinking. And this is why we can see that the response, the retaliation, was very well calculated. It was very meticulous, despite the fact that you had almost the greatest superpowers in the world facing just one man against all, basically, against the Islamic Republic of Iran, and still you had the capabilities have definitely surprised the Israeli regime. We saw that there was definitely a surprise when the drones reached the skies of occupied Palestine. There was also another surprise, making sure that they have not been intercepted and the rockets were not intercepted. So therefore, people were waiting all night. We did not see, most people in Lebanon did not go to sleep. Most of them were waiting to see and wanted to hear the news of this issue. This is, first of all, not only in retaliation for the assassination of the Israeli officials, they believe this is also in retaliation for the continuous massacres that are taking place in Palestine and the killings that are occurring in Lebanon.
Hopefully, Israeli officials will come to their senses and make the right decision. And Maryam Saleh, thank you so much. Let me thank my guests. One of them, Maryam Saleh, our correspondent in Beirut, in southern Lebanon now. Fra Hughes, a journalist, author, and activist, also joined me from Belfast. And with us, we also had Sundus Al-Assad, journalist, human rights advocate in Beirut, Lebanon. Thank you all. That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
writing. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 14th, 2024. I'm Atefe Irfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, as I always say, Listeners Special is your program, and it's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from you, dear listeners. This time, Hemant Kumar from India has sent us reception report. Again from India, we have reception report from Bashir Ahmad, and from Mohammad Khaku from the United States, we have reception report. So, Hemant, Bashir, and Mohammad, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Thank you for the reception reports. And here we've received emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read your emails. Bashir Ahmad from India has sent us a piece of email. Lou Dacheng, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us a piece of email. And from Russia, we've received an email from Anatoly Klipov. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and old places may be beautiful for their design, but sometimes they're beautiful because of their very age, because of the mark that time has left upon them. Save Jame Mosque is one of the historical, religious, and beautiful buildings where you can see traces of three historical periods before Islam, the first centuries of the advent of Islam in Iran and the Safavid era. Isn't that interesting? Three historical periods. It's very interesting. So, before I explain more about the Save Jame Mosque in Iran, I will read one of your emails from Bashir Ahmad from India. Bashir Ahmad from India is one of our old and regular listeners who says, "Dear staff at IRIB English Radio, hereby I would like to send you my warm greetings as always. The holy month of Ramadan is over, and I would like to say happy Eid to your staff and all listeners who celebrate this blessed feast. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, to Bashir Ahmad from India, and thank you very much for writing to us. Thank you for your congratulation message on Eid al-Fitr. Actually, happy Eid al-Fitr to all Muslim listeners and to all Muslim people around the world. Bashir Ahmad from India, thank you very much for writing to us. Please accept our EQSL as confirmation to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We wish you luck. This is Listeners Special, and I was saying, Save Jame Mosque is located in the city of Save in Markazi province, central Iran. This historical mosque is made of adobe and mud. The building of Save Jame Mosque consists of a courtyard and a dome in its southern part, two Ivans, a minaret, several prayer halls or shabistans, and old mihrabs decorated and built with Kufic and Sol scripts. The beautiful Iranian architecture, along with the handmade art of turquoise tiling of the dome, has doubled the beauty of the Saveh Mosque. Saveh Jame Mosque was registered in the National Heritage List close to 80 years ago. The mosque underwent renovation and reconstruction during various historical periods. Yes, this is the story of Saveh Jame Mosque. And here, let's see what Lu Dacheng from China says. Lu Dacheng is one of our old and regular listeners. Dear friends of English section of IRIB, actually IRIB English Radio. Hello, I am Lu Dacheng from China. I am your loyal listener. I always listen to your programs on shortwave. I know Islamic Republic of Iran is an Islamic country. So I would like to say Eid Mubarak. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran. Lu Dacheng from China, thank you very much for writing to IRIB English Radio. And thank you very much for your congratulation message on Eid al-Fitr. Eid Mubarak, thank you. In our language, in Farsi language, however, in Arabic, they also say Eid Mubarak, meaning happy Eid, happy this occasion, Eid al-Fitr. Eid Mubarak and happy Eid al-Fitr to all Muslims around the world, especially IRIB English Radio listeners. Lu Dacheng from China, thank you very much for writing to us. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. An electronic QSL will be sent to you as confirmation to your email. Welcome back. Let me add something about the Saveh Jame Mosque. Experts believe the beautiful prayer halls and corridors of the mosque with their brick facades were built during the Seljuk era. It's more like a museum. Archaeological samples dating back to the pre-Islamic, early Islamic and Safavid eras have been unearthed by archaeologists conducting research on the mosque. The main mihrab of the mosque has vertical and horizontal inscriptions on its three walls. They are engraved with Kufi and Sol scripts and Quranic verses. Very beautiful. You can't believe it. God bless the archaeologists of this mosque. Jame Mosque of Saveh is a valuable legacy in religion, architecture, painting, tiling, and ornamentation, such as plasterwork and Kufic scripts. So, I prefer to talk less so that you may travel to Iran, to Saveh in Markazi province and in central Iran, and visit this mosque. This historical mosque attracts tourists and pilgrims from different Islamic countries and from around the world. So just pack your suitcase and take a visit to this historical mosque and don't forget to take a camera with yourself because it's very beautiful and you shouldn't miss the beauties of this mosque. Yes, life is short, so don't miss its countless beauties. And as I said in the introduction part of our program, Anatoly Klepo from Russia has sent us a piece of email. Let's see what Anatoly from Russia says. Dear friends, greetings from Russia. I am your regular listener. My hobby is listening to radio from different stations around the world. This email contains a report on the reception of your radio station, which will give a full assessment of audibility in Moscow. Hope my report helps. Technical service of your radio station. Please confirm this reception. I would be glad to receive information about your station. Thank you. Salam and greetings from Tehran, from Iran, and from IRIB English Radio to you, Anatoly Klepov from Russia. We are grateful to you for this email. An electronic QSL will be sent to you as confirmation to this email. And as you said, of course, your reports will help us promote the quality of our programs. Thank you for that. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And you should know that the information about our station, IRIB English Radio, is available at our website at parstoday.ir/en. And there you can find the information about our radio, IRIB English Radio. Thank you again, Anatoly Klepov from Russia. And here we've come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. In this edition, we read your emails and your reception reports, and we talked about Saveh Jameh Mosque in central Iran. We had a very good time being together. But before saying goodbye to you, I just wanted to send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of you who have kindly sent us emails, letters, and reception reports from around the world, including Muhammad Khaku from the US, Bashir Ahmad from India, Hemant Kumar from India, and Luda Cheng from China, also Anatoly Klepov from Russia. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us at IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special Program. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, self-control when it comes to our Islamic lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we are so honored to be here in your presence, dear listeners, at your humble service. So we are talking about self-control as a part of our Islamic lifestyle. So in these few sessions, after the holy month of Ramadan has ended, you know, we're trying to just kind of speak about some of the things that we learned in our Ramadan lifestyle that we should continue in our regular lifestyle now that we are moving day by day farther and farther away from the previous holy month of Ramadan. And if you want to look at a positive angle, we are moving closer and closer day by day to the next holy month of Ramadan. And of course, we had said that the lifestyle of the holy month of Ramadan is in reality the peak and the summit of our Islamic lifestyle. So one of the things that we learned back then and which we need to implement and inculcate in our current continuation of the Islamic lifestyle is self-control, right? So for so many days, a whole month pretty much, you know, we were able to control ourselves from so many different things. And so now we need to continue that, and we need to be able to control ourselves, and we need to be able to keep in mind and be aware of what we're doing, where we're going, what we're saying, you know, what we're listening to, you know, what we're looking at. These are all different aspects that we need to continue to keep in control. And remember, what's kind of interesting is that in the holy month of Ramadan, it was kind of easier to do these things because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you extra. That month is really special. But now that we have moved on past the holy month of Ramadan, in these months, it is a little bit more difficult because that extra protection that we had from the Almighty Allah has been reduced. This is kind of like it's a regular month, right? And it's now the regular months of the rest of the year. So we have to kind of, you know, put a little bit more effort when it comes to self-control. But if we do, we will be able to really reap the fruits and the benefits. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about self-control as a fundamental part of our Islamic lifestyle. So, of course, you know, we need to control what we are looking at, what we are listening to, what we are saying, what we are thinking, what is in our hearts, right? Where we go to, where we sit, where we stand, meaning who we accompany, what places we are going, what things we are eating, what things we are drinking, right? Consumption in all its various different forms, right? We have to control all of these things because all of these different faculties or all of these different inputs from which we consume things, you know, they have an effect on us. So for example, let's say in the holy month of Ramadan, you decided that you're not going to watch any Hollywood movies. Well, perhaps for the rest of the Islamic lifestyle year, you should try your best to not watch those Hollywood movies. I mean, it's not necessary, right? But still, these are, even though this is a small, perhaps insignificant example of what we're talking about, but what I'm trying to say is that we definitely need to keep control of ourselves, you know, have trust in Allah, have that reliance upon Allah, ask Allah to help you now that that extra protection of the holy month of Ramadan has finished, you know, ask Allah to keep protecting you and to help you to be able to continue that self-control. These first 10 days after the holy month of Ramadan are very important. They're very critical, right? Many of the spiritual masters, even though our time has run out, they have said that if an individual, and it comes from the traditions of the 14 infallibles, alayhim wasalam, that if an individual for 40 days keeps up a certain act, that eventually it'll become a habit for them. They'll become accustomed. It'll become easy. So the 30 days of Ramadan have passed. When you add the 10 days that we are going through, they add up to 40. So this time is very important when it comes to self-control and our Islamic lifestyle.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
The Limelight.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has defended the Zionist regime's actions to the hilt and provided diplomatic cover for their every action in Gaza. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, while anti-war protesters in the United States have labeled their president as Genocide Joe, the title may more accurately describe U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who has served as the Zionist regime's right-hand man in attacking the people of Gaza, all while posing as an innocent bystander who is doing his best to pressure the Israeli government to change its tactics and reach a temporary ceasefire. Antony Blinken was born in 1962 to a wealthy and distinguished family. His father, a co-founder of an investment bank named Warburg Pincus, and who later served as U.S. ambassador to Hungary. Blinken would later move with his mother to Paris and study at the École Jean-Manuel Private International School, before moving on to university where he would become a qualified lawyer. Entering into politics and having served in positions within U.S. Democratic Party governments dating the Clinton administration, he built his record as a well-connected foreign policy expert, known over the years for being hawkish on military intervention and a staunch supporter of the fabricated regime of Israel. After serving in the State Department and in senior positions on the National Security Council from 1994 to 2001, he then went on to become a senior fellow at the Washington-based think tank entitled the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Blinken was a strong advocate for the 2003 invasion of Iraq and in favor of NATO military intervention in Libya. He also held various positions under the former Obama administration, including Deputy Secretary of State. Antony Blinken also notably backed the catastrophic Saudi-led intervention in Yemen in 2015, which led to some 400,000 deaths during the war that now remains as a frozen conflict. He then was quickly struck with a nightmare scenario on October 7th. Instead of pursuing a policy position which reflects balance, the Biden administration's Secretary of State took an immediate trip to meet Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the beginning of the war with Gaza, stating, "I come before you not only as Secretary of State, but as a Jew." From this moment onward, Antony Blinken has defended the Zionist regime's actions to the hilt and provided diplomatic cover for their every action in Gaza, offering words of light condemnation on occasion. He has repeatedly visited the Zionist leadership to consult them on their war effort, helping to send Israel weapons, which bypassed the need for congressional approval on two separate occasions, despite occasionally putting on public displays of regret for the lives lost in Gaza. Blinken avoids ever condemning the Zionist regime for its countless civilian massacres, along with various other documented crimes such as rape, torture, and manufactured famine. The U.S. Secretary of State often appears to speak in a manner which reflects an inability to act to stop the war, yet is the only man capable of actually doing something. Meanwhile, Press TV wrote, Joe Biden administration has continued to supply lethal weaponry to the Benjamin Netanyahu regime in Tel Aviv, ignoring growing calls worldwide, including by the International Court of Justice, for a halt to arms shipments to Israel. Exact figures for specific weapons deliveries have not been officially released by either the United States or the Zionist regime, but rough estimates can be made based on occasional disclosures of various details. A report published by the Washington Post recently, based on statements from current and former U.S. officials, revealed that the Biden administration has arranged over 100 individual arms transfers to Israel since the start of the latest war on October 7th last year. The previously unreported triple-digit figure includes thousands of precision-guided munitions, small-diameter bombs, bunker busters, small arms, and other lethal aid, U.S. officials were cited as saying to members of Congress in a classified briefing. These officials, speaking on the condition of anonymity, also criticized the massive delivery of firepower because, except for two transfers, it was done without individual notification to Congress and without public debate. The only two previously publicly disclosed military sales totaled over $100 million individually, while at least 100 others were carefully stuffed within that figure due to congressional notification rules. Section 36 of the U.S. Arms Export Control Act requires congressional notification for foreign military sales of any defense articles or services valued at $100 million or more, in the case of the Zionist regime, NATO member countries, and four other U.S. allies. U.S. State Department spokesperson Matt Miller was quoted as saying that rules were followed, and since the beginning of the war, U.S. officials have engaged Congress on arms sales to Israel over 200 times. The massiveness of military transfers is also evidenced by earlier leaked information, such as the U.S. Defense Department's statement in mid-November that deliveries of bunker buster munitions and missiles to Israel take place on a near daily basis. That same month, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a Republican plan providing $14.5 billion in military aid to Israel, two-thirds of which was for bombardment equipment transferred from U.S. stocks. In early December, after approximately 60 days of the war against Palestinians in Gaza, the Wall Street Journal reported some specific amounts of weapons, citing U.S. officials. The two-month shipment at the time included 100 BLU-109 hardened penetration bombs, approximately 1,000 GBU-39 small-diameter bombs, over 5,000 MK-82 and 5,400 MK-84 unguided bombs, and around 3,000 JDAM guidance kits. In total, 15,000 bombs and 57,155-millimeter artillery shells were delivered to the Zionist regime, mostly via C-17 military cargo planes. A few days later, the Zionist regime war ministry openly boasted that 200 American cargo plane carrying military equipment had arrived in the occupied territories. The cargo primarily related to armaments and ammunition, but also to armored vehicles, personal protective equipment, medical supplies, and more. At the end of the same month, the Zionist regime-affiliated media reported 244 American cargo planes and 20 ships delivering over 10,000 tons of military aid.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. How to protect ourselves from the trials of end of the time, and which is all we are all going to face that situation. One of the things that's going to protect us from that situation is if we know our Imam truly and we connect ourselves with our Imam. There's a beautiful hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, where he says, "An Abi Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam, qala al-Haris al-A'war li Amir al-Mu'mineen." Imam al-Sadiq salamu alayhi has narrated this hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen that Haris one day asked from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, saying, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ana wallahi uhibbuk." Haris said to Amir al-Mu'mineen, while he's waiting upon God, he said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, O the leader of faithful, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Imam Ali, I love you truly. I love you truly. Ana wallahi uhibbuk. I love you. Truly I love you." When he made this statement, Amir al-Mu'mineen, when heard this statement from Haris al-Awar, replied to him, فَقَالَ لَهُ يَا حَارِسْ أَمَّا إِذَا أَحْبَعْتَنِي. Okay, if you love me, then do few things. فَقَالَ لَهُ يَا حَارِثْ أَمَّا إِذَا أَحْبَبْتَنِي. If you really love me, what Imam wanted from him, the first thing Imam mentioned here, فَلَا تُخَاسِمْنِي. Don't create enmity between me and you. Don't go against me. Don't do something which makes you enemy of us. It's a very important point. He said, Imam, I love you. Imam said, I know. If you really love me, then do certain things. Prove yourself. If you really love me, prove yourself. فَلَا تُخَاسِمْنِي. Don't do anything which causes enmity between me and you. No. If you want to follow me, just stay friend. Stay close. Stay on our guidance. Don't go against our guidance. Number two, وَلَا تُلَاعِبْنِي. Don't play games with us. If you really love us, lots of people used to call Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, "Oh, Imam Hussein, I love you. Oh, Imam Hussein, I love you." When Imam Hassan was in need of them for support to fight against Muawiyah, they cheated upon Imam, and they were not friends. When time come, they didn't show up, or they just betrayed Imam. Imam Hussein, when he was leaving for Karbala, lots of friends, those who claimed they are friends, they said, "Hey, Imam, oh no, you know, we are not going to coming with you. We have families. We have, you know, we want to live in the peace, but you're creating problems." They started going against Imam, so they started playing games with them. Imam said, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen said to Haris, "Oh Haris, if you love us, don't play game with us. وَلَا تُجَارِينِي. Don't do debate with us. don't discuss useless things with us. No, if we say something, take it seriously. Take it seriously. Don't debate, don't discuss things, meaningless things with us. And then Imam said, وَلَا تُمَازِحْنِي. If you really love us, don't make fun of us. Means don't do things which is going to cause to others making fun of us. No, don't make fun of us. وَلَا تُوَازِعْنِي. Don't put us down. No, be nice, be humble, be the great people. كُنُوا لَنَا زَيْنٍ وَلَا تَكُونُوا عَلَيْنَا شَيْنًا. This is a beautiful hadith. Imam said, be always good upon us. Don't be shame upon us. Here in this hadith, Imam says, وَلَا تُوَاضِعْنِي. Don't put us down. And then last point, Imam said, وَلَا تُرَافِعْنِي. Don't take us high. We are all servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't take us